This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
A vessel from heaven to speak, give us God's Word. He's been here as one of the most humblest people I've met, whose heart is open, considering how we started and how we knew. It's enough for him to say, we'll never come. Him and John Praise, they have that same heart. They would have said, we know them when they started. But every year he comes. And we don't take it lightly, sir. From our heart, we want to say thank you, sir. And this morning, he's going to give us the first word. We join our hearts, shall we rise? As welcome Pastor Femi Emmanuel of Living Spring.
If that is for Jesus, it could be louder and sharper and stronger and better. The loudest clapper will receive the first miracle. Hallelujah. Please have your seat. I want to express my sincere and deep appreciation to God's servant, Pastor David Ibiomie, and his amazing wife, Mama, for this rare privilege of having to stand on this global altar. I don't take it lightly. To be given microphone to stand here is introducing you to the whole world. And what a deep privilege. I'm always super happy when I'm coming to Salvation Ministries. I don't know, sometimes I will say, is there anything wrong with me? Something will be jumping inside of me that I want to go and see coming to David Ibiomie. Each time I come to learn. I come to be imparted. I come to see. I come to be sharpened. Also come for relationship. So asking me to share, sir, is an honor. If I didn't have to share, I would still come. I didn't come for preaching. So each time you say, will you bring a word? I say, ah, thank you. It's a privilege. Those early days of me inviting you, you inviting me, we keep coming. One day rain sacked us here. Those things are gone. The Lord has lifted Salvation Ministries. The Lord has lifted you. Glory Rain is a global movement. It's not any denomination. So even if you did not invite me, I will invite myself. I've made up my mind. There are three meetings I go in a year. Our papa, our mentor, the minister's conference, Shiloh, and Glory Rain. I get so much here. So it's an honor to be here. And you even said to me, I can't choose topic for you. Choose your topic. I say, wow. That's an honor. God bless you. Once again, thank you. I listen to Papa. Every day, I listen to David Ibiomie every day. They have been a blessing to my soul. So this morning, I'll be sharing. But yesterday, I listened to Pastor Koride and Bishop Dan. Those guys. Those men of God. There was something else. I learned of the towing vehicle grace. Say, wow, that's at another dimension. I used to say I join my jacket to the jacket of those that are walking faster than me so that I can move on. So I think I will change that now. I join my slowing moving vehicle to towing vehicle so that they can tow me along. God bless you. God bless you, Bishop John Praise. God bless you and all the other people. Now, In the place of prayer, I was asking God, what will you have me share with the generals, with your servants, ministers, and leaders here? And this word dropped into my spirit, legacy. So I titled this, Be Legacy-Minded in Life and in Ministry. Be legacy-minded in life and in ministry. So I am on legacy-mindedness this morning. I added life to it because this is not just for ministers in the fivefold ministries. Like Pastor David have said, and I've also said it many times, life is principle-based and principles-driven. The same principle drives life, whatever calling you have, the same principles. And that is the truth. If you get the principles of life right, you will succeed in what God has called you to do. Same principles, business life, military life, civil servant life, ministry life, career, political life, marriage life. Once you get the principle, all we're talking about is adaptation and adoption. Same principles, even though we are applying these to ministers. So everyone listening to me, whatever your calling, whatever your assignment, these principles are the truth that drives life. What is legacy? Legacy means what a person will leave behind for the incoming generation. Legacy means what you will be remembered for. Legacy means impact. Legacy means changes or addition one can bring to bear in life in the area of his or her calling. Legacy means a bequeather, what you are going to bequeath on the generations behind you. Legacy means an endowment. Legacy means inheritance to be left behind. Proverbs 13 verse 22. The Bible says, a good man leaveth an inheritance for his generation. A good man leaveth an inheritance for his children. A legacy-minded person. Please, be legacy-minded, not profligacy-minded. Be legacy-minded, not selfish-minded. Luke chapter 12, verse 15, the Bible says, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he may possess. Life is more than material things. Life is more than physical things that we can touch. As you embark on your calling, as you go about in your job, on your enterprise, in your political life, or whatever life you are living, please let legacy rule your mind. Let your sleeping and your waking thought be, what am I going to leave behind? The most miserable person that ever lived is the person that lived for self. Me, myself, and me. That is being satanic minded. Isaiah chapter 14 verse 13. Isaiah 14, 13. He said, for thou hast said in your mind, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount, of the congregation. Now if you read that, I. Please don't live for I. Don't live for self. That is satanic mindedness. Live beyond for self. My first point relates this. Motive counts. Write it down. Motive counts. What is your motive for doing what you are doing? And since we are ministers and leaders here, what is your motive for coming to ministry? What's your intention? What's your intention? What is your motive for going into politics? Those in politics. What is your intention for going into business and into career? What is your motive? What is propelling you? What is that? What is the reason? What is your intention? John 18, verse 37. John 18, 37. Jesus Christ said, Pilate, therefore, when he asked, he said, for this, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. What is the reason? Why are you into what you are doing? Why are you doing what you are doing? Why are you in ministry? Why are you into pastoring? There are several other things you could do. Why are you into this? Why are you pursuing your pursuits? Why are you after what you are after? That is the first thing that I want us to think about. What is the motive? Motive counts. To God, the motive, the real intention behind what you are doing. What you are doing is not as important as the motive behind it. What is the purpose? What's driving you? Why do you want to be there? Number two, examples of legacy-minded people, both in the scriptures and in our contemporary world. Many ministers are in the ministry for the wrong reasons. For the wrong reasons. Oh yes, let me finish with that. Many people are in the ministry for the wrong reasons. Many people are in ministry for money motive. Money is the motive, the driving force. Many are in the ministry for material gains. Many are there for fame, to be popular, to be known. Many are in the ministry for competition's sake. Those are not good reasons for being in the ministry. Those are wrong reasons. Those are things that will not last. Those are temporal things, ephemeral things. Things that are passing away. Can I say this to you? Life is a mirage. If you live for those, you are living for a mirage. Don't live for self. Live for legacy. Live for what you will bequeath on this generation. Seek to make life better than you met it. Seek to make your environment, your community, better than you met it. Now, don't live for selfish reasons. Don't be like most Nigerian politicians that I know. Most of our political leaders living for wrong reasons. My journey into Nigerian politics opened many years ago. That's from 29 years ago. Don't look at me like that. That's a very long time ago. And God took me there to teach me a lesson, which I'm trying to teach the body of Christ now. Now, I saw what I couldn't see from the pulpit. Now, most Nigerian politicians are there for what they can grab, what they can get. I have never met a group of people like that in my life. Everybody is out for what he can get. You are in the meeting, somebody say, it is me you must select. It is me. I said, let somebody talk on your behalf. No, they talk on their own behalf. That is what they are there for. And many pastors behave like Nigerian politicians. What I can get out of it. What I can get out of it. What I can acquire to myself, that is wrong. God judges motives. And it is because people have wrong motives in ministry that they do wrong things. They apply wrong approaches. And of course, many of them make shipwreck of their lives and of their ministries. The ministry space is full of casualties. People who went in for the wrong reason. So that brought me to the second point I mentioned the other time. Examples of legacy-minded people, both in the scripture and in our contemporary world. Those who live for legacy. Jesus, the Lord and Savior of our soul, is our number one example. Jesus lived for legacy. 33 and a half years in life, 30 years in preparation, 3.5 years in manifestation, the world will not recover for the impact he left behind. Until he comes back the second time, the impact will continue and continue forever. Remember one time they wanted to make him king. He died. He disappeared. He left them. That's not your purpose. I came. If you don't know why you are doing what you are doing, somebody will take you on the wrong journey. Said, that is not what I came. He came to fulfill a purpose. He came to build a legacy. He poured himself into his disciples, and they carried on after him. And we are beneficiary of the legacy that he brought and he left behind. Another person I can think about is King David. King David, you remember, he proposed to build God a house. And God said to him, you are a man of blood. Your hand is too full of blood. I can't allow you to build me a house. And David said, well, if you will not allow me, I am going to make provisions for those who will build it after me. This was a man that knew he will not be opportune to worship in that temple. He will not be around when the thing will be on. Yet he made provision. He was thinking legacy. He said, well, if it is Solomon, my son, that will build it, I will make enough provisions for him to be able to build it. Read that in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 1 to 5. Read it on your own. A person that was not going to be a beneficiary of a thing, and yet he went all out to invest heavily for those that will come after him. What a legacy-minded person. Another person I can think about was Abraham. Abraham lived for legacy. Remember in Genesis 26 verse 18, the Bible talked about the wells that Abraham dug, that Isaac his son came to inherit. Genesis 18 verse 19, God gave a testimony about Abraham. He said, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. He built legacy. He brought his children into it. He brought his generation into it. God said, for I know him. Can God say that about you? That I know him. That it's not just about himself. He's going to make provision. He's going to leave legacy. He's going to put his children in the way. If God knows that you will not bring your generation, those coming after you, into what he called you to do, he will not give it to you. God will not pass to you what will not pass through you. God will not pass to you what will not pass through you. Please be legacy minded. Think beyond now. Think beyond yourself. Why are you doing what you are doing? See the great men of our days. And as I listen to Pastor David Ibiomie from time to time, he made references to some of these great men who by God's grace, by God's divine arrangement, he had met, they have imparted him. Our great mentor, our father, Bishop David Oyedepo, from time to time, hardly can he lead us in a minister's conference or teach without referring to people God has used to bless his life. Names like Billy Graham. He still mentioned Billy Graham yesterday. Names like Oral Roberts, like Kenneth Hagin, like T.L. Osborne, like Miles Moreau, like Dr. Miles Murdock, on and on and on like that. They live for legacy. Nobody will remember you for the food you ate or the gorgeous apparel you put on every time, or the several 7-star, 5-star hotel that you have lived in, or so many flashy cars that you have driven. Nobody will remember anyone for what you consumed. You will only be remembered for what you imparted. You will only be, the life you never touched will not remember you. The community you never changed. The atmosphere you never did anything about to make better will not remember you. Monuments are never built for failures. Please think beyond yourself. Our father, Bishop Oyedepo, Daddy Adeboye, late Professor Art Benson Idahosa, and on, including God's servant, whose life we see God's grace, David Ibiomie, to the glory of God. Even in the political spheres, I just mentioned our Nigerian politicians, but politicians of yesteryears were not like that. And in some other spheres, we read about people like Mahatma Gandhi of India that turned the whole atmosphere, and they are still enjoying it today. Abraham Lincoln. Somebody talk about Lake Wanyu of Singapore. So many, somebody turned Dubai to what it is now. They are not even Christians, but they were legacy minded. What are you going to leave behind? How will you be remembered? That is what is important, and that is what God is dropping into my mind. So let me ask you, are you just here to eat or to drink or to wear clothes or to make shakara? Now, these people I mentioned, our father, Bishop Oyedepo, Baba Deboye, W.F. Kumuyi, David Ibiomie, Femi Emmanuel, with us in our humility to mention my name. Are we out for what to eat? Is it all about what David Ibiomie will eat, or what he will wear, or the car he will drive, or the house he will live in? No! Think beyond yourself. Think beyond yourself. Those things are mundane things of life. They are mundane. They are things that are passing away. Perishable things. Many people are living for what will perish, what will not last, what has no record in eternity. Live for legacy. Don't live for things. Live for legacy. Don't live for things. Number three, be intentional. Be intentional about legacy building. I've already quoted Luke 12:15. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he may possess. Don't live for things. Use things, and use things to establish things for those coming behind us. I say to people, God does not mind you owning things if those things will not own you. God does not mind you owning things if you will not turn them into God. If you will not turn them into your object of living. He said, for all these things the Gentiles run after. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all the things shall be added unto you. We are to touch things, but not to live for them. We are not to live and walk as if that is the whole essence of our life. Be intentional. Be legacy minded. Be what will I leave behind for my generation minded. Let that rule, he said, let this heart be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Now who being God does not count it a thing to be glorified about, but came to our level. His mind was legacy. I came for a job. I came to fulfill a purpose, and that purpose I must fulfill. He laid his life. He said, never had a man loved his friends like this, that he laid his life. You remember, Peter was out to defend him one time. You won't be killed. He said, you don't know. Put your sword into your scabbard. For this purpose I came. Can I ask again, why are you into what you are into? Why are you into ministry? I discovered in this my few years of ministry, especially the younger generation, many people are in ministry for the wrong reasons. Ministry is not what you think. Oh. And I say to people, if you are not called, don't dare. No, there is that joke outside there. They will tell you, if you want to have money in Nigeria, you either go into politics or into ministry. They just don't know what they are talking about. If God does not call you, ministry is a curse. But if he called you, he will back you up. If you have the right heart, the right mindset for ministry, what will I leave behind? What will I achieve for God and my generation? Therefore, think legacy, talk legacy, plan legacy, walk legacy, be intentional about it. Be deliberate about it. God's servant, Pastor David Ibiomie, is intentional about this. Each time I watch him here talk, I say, this man, you know, they get tired. This man, pouring out himself, giving all the secret. People keep the secret of their trade. But giving all the secret, I want you to be like me. If possible, surpass me. I say to my ministers, I hold ministers' conference in Lagos from time to time. I said, well, I love you so much and each time you come to us, you also speak at our ministers' conference. I say, I want you to be bigger than me. I want you to be higher than me, ministry, but I'm not going to wait for you. We are on express road. I am not going to wait for you. You are the one that will double up. Help me say to your neighbor, double up. Say to your neighbor, double up. It will be a disservice to destiny to come to atmosphere like this. Now, in our own time, we didn't have this kind of opportunity. Ministry was secretive. Everything was secretive. It's God, oh. Are you coming to this one? Now, God, oh. I said, this God. We should know this God. But here we have come to age where people share principles. What you need from your mentor, you had it yesterday. Mentorship is not sponsorship. Oh, I will never forget the testimony that our leader, our mentor, Bishop Oyedepo, gave. I've heard him say that many times. Many years ago, he drove from Kaduna to Benin to see one of his principal mentors, late Archbishop Benson Idahosa. And I don't know how many of you know Benson Idahosa. How many of you were close to him before his death? You know what a large-hearted man. You know what an ebullient man. He said he came from Kaduna to share with him certain personal issues of his life and ministry. And after they are done in the house, Archbishop Idahosa was seeing him out and he said, come. I said, how did you come? You came all the way from Kaduna. Said, come. Took him to his car park. Many cars. He said, leave this one. Take whichever one you want. You must have had that before, sir. He said, I said to him, no, I didn't need your car. I need the principles that is working for you. I need what is making life work for you. He said, I also looked at him and said, I have never seen any pastor that said this to me before. When you say take car, they will be jumping. But you said, no, I don't need the car, sir. I need the principle that is making it work for you. He said, kneel down again. Let me pray for you. What you need is principles. What you need is what is making it work for this man. If God can do it for one, he can do it for all. Acts chapter 10 verse 34. Peter said, I perceived that God is not a respecter of person. Yes, God is not a respecter of person, but it's a respecter of principle. If you do what they did that got them to where they are, you will also be there. If you do what they did, you will also be there. Said, I don't need the car. Some people think car is ministry. SUV. Some people think traveling abroad is ministry. I remember when our church first started. I didn't start church on time. I never knew I would be a pastor. I was just okay serving with my pastor, Reverend Dr. Paul Ginodu, for those of you who know him. And but eventually it came. It was clear to me. He prayed for me. He released me. And I went all out to ministry. And of course, God has connected me to his servant, Bishop David Oyedepo, through Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International in 1985. So I went to see him after about 7 years in ministry in Ibadan, and things were already happening in Ibadan. It was one Living Spring, one Ibadan. And he said, I have not seen you for a while. I said, I travel abroad. So I said, abroad? I said, yes. I said, before I allow him to talk, because I didn't know what he would say, and I was afraid for him not to say what I would not be able to answer. I said, no, you know, for the last 7 years, I sat with the church. He said, why not 8 years? Why not 10 years? I said, for the last 7 years, I didn't go anywhere. I just sat with the church. He said, why don't you make it 10 years? In other words, face your job if you want God to lift you up. Sit with the job. There is nothing God has done for anyone he cannot do for you if only you will do what they did. There is a price for every rise. And everyone you see on top did not drop there. He climbed there. Think legacy. Plan legacy. Walk legacy. Next, be a generational thinker. Be a generational thinker. A legacy-minded person is a selfless person. A legacy-minded pastor is a sacrificial pastor. You listen to Pastor David Ibiome yesterday talk to us about the secret of his life. Love. It's an epitome of love. And I'm here to testify to that. Having loved him, stayed with him, related with him for years, I am a testimony to that. There are those who preach it. There are those who live it. He doesn't just preach it. He lived it. He lived it. Be a legacy mindset person is a sacrificial person. Is a love person. Be a generational thinker. Don't think selfishly. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 4. The Bible talking there. He said, one generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the heart abideth forever. We serve a generational God. From one generation to the other. From one people to the other. Build the next generation as God gives you the grace. Build for the next generation as God gives you the grace. Raise successors. Success without a successor is a failure. Build mentees. Pour yourself into those that will carry it on after you. None of us is here to live forever. None of us will be here forever. That was what Jesus Christ did. He poured himself into the disciples. They took it on after him. Can I ask you, the work you are doing, who will take it on after you? The ministry you are into, the business, the enterprise, what God has helped you to achieve, who will take it on after you? Jesus poured himself out to his disciples. When they were to have the Lord's Supper, and that was a very beautiful picture, he said here yesterday, read the Bible with picture. You will get more meaning. He took the loaf of bread. He broke it. He said, take. This is my body. This is my flesh. Eat. And he took the cup after. He broke the bread. That gave me a picture of Christ. He served himself out. He served himself out. Please serve yourself out. Serve yourself out. You will not be forgotten. He broke the bread and gave it to them. He broke himself into pieces. And he said, take me. He poured himself out. Jesus poured himself out. Please pour yourself out. What is happening here with God's servant is that he's pouring himself out. And of course he's showing. He's showing. I listened to my fellow colleague pastors of Salvation Ministry. One by one, as they came up, I said, wow, David has poured himself into this one. Oh. Who was telling us story yesterday and we were laughing and laughing and laughing. I was looking for you yesterday. So when Papa was making us to laugh yesterday, I said, hey, this boy got it from him. You laugh, you learn. You laugh, you learn. He strike you hard, he pull you back again. I'll strike you hard. What? You don't forget such things. You don't forget such things. After you have forgotten many things, you won't forget the story he told. And they are all loaded. Pour out yourself. Can I ask who is following you? Who is learning from you? There are general overseers, there are founding pastors that nobody wants to get close to them. They are so impetuous, they are so impatient, you didn't get to where you are suddenly. You made your mistakes. Let them make their mistakes, correct them, and see them on. No one will remember you if you don't touch their lives. Finally, build structures. Build structures. Build monuments. No future is guaranteed without structure. Whether it's business or ministry or family or your life, there are those even as little as one's family. There are those that are building up their children to take after them.
You just want to consume everything on yourself. You die and that is your end. No. I said this over there in Ibadan. I don't know how many people can take it when they talk about this Jakpa. Jakpa is him. I don't know whether it is like that here. Over there, everything is Jakpa. Everybody wants to run away. And I see even Christians, even pastors, arranging for their children to Jakpa. Some pastors are also Jakpa. I told them, you that Jakpa law with Jakpa Pada. Because Nigerians have been lied to. It's not what they think. It's not what they think. Somebody has said that. The grass is greener where you are. So I said to them one day, I live in Ibadan. I have a church in Lagos. I network Lagos and Ibadan. And of course, if you know southwestern part of the country, Oshogbo, Jebode, Abeokuta, those are ancient cities. You drive around these cities, you see desolate mansions. Big, big houses of those days. Those were LA cocoa farmers. You know, there's something that Chief Obafemi Awolowo did for the southwestern part of the country. Give them education. And liberated as the most educated part of this country. And they came into LA civilization. Cocoa farmers. Money people. But you drive around those houses in Ijebode, in Oshogbo, in Abeokuta, in Ibadan, you see desolations. Empty houses overgrown with weeds. What happened? In those days, it was a status symbol that your children are in UK. And that is what is always becoming now. You know, there are those who rejoice. I see people give testimony. Two of my children are now in Canada. Three of my children are now in UK. You will suffer, Lord. You will suffer in the evening of your days. There are elders in our church that we have to be giving them money for Baba to barb their hair. Money to buy drugs. Because all their children has jackpot. And life is not as easy over there. So I said to them, when you uproot yourself from your root, and I want to say this, nobody can know ultimate fulfillment outside his or her root. No. The way God made it, you cannot know ultimate. Life is more than eating. All this I'm running away is all about eating and driving one car. If you have 500 pounds in London, you drive a car. And nobody is looking at your car. This is where we look at cars anyway. Now, if all you want to go for is to eat, dogs eat, goats eat. Jesus Christ said, look at the sparrow. They never sow nor harvest. Your Father in heaven takes care of them. So I said, when you send all your children away, and maybe some of you here too are thinking that way, when you send all of them away, they are not going to come back to this country because they left nothing behind. And they went with the mentality of, I'm suffering. I said, well, the best they will do is that when you die, they come home to bury you and return to exile. 10-20 years after your death, you will not be remembered again. Your legacy has ended. Your name is gone. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live like that. I don't want my memory. They become diaspora. They are neither English. They are no longer black. They are no longer white. They dangle in between. And those of us who travel, some of you have lived abroad before. Some of you had worked there before. You know the white people never really accept us. We just try, they just tolerate in us. And I said, Canada opened a door. UK had relaxed. They are coming. It's not because they love you. It's because there is a need. You know, initially they came here. Initially, there was slave trade. They came, their great grandfather came to enslave us, put rope on our necks. Slave trade is over. Now, they have designed another method. We still need this slave. But instead of putting rope on their neck, let them come themselves and say, we have come. We want to serve you. We want to clean your house. We want to cook your meal. I am not saying you shouldn't jack power, but I say to you, think of it well. You know, people think only in the short time. Can I say this to you? The situation we are passing through in Nigeria is a passing phase. It's not going to be like this for long. It's a passing phase. And it's not going to be long at all. I don't know whether you know that British missionary that came per SGL team. I don't know how many of you have had it. I had interpreted for him several times in those days. Per Elton said, a time will come in Nigeria where Nigeria will be the most corrupt nation of the world. And the word corruption was not known there. In fact, when you mention corruption, they will be looking for dictionary to find the meaning for corruption. Now, when you mention Nigeria, they say, oh, corruption. He said, a time is coming. He said, but after that, he said, Nigeria will be so corrupt, nobody will want to come there. It will be known all over the world for corrupt. It was like, what is this man saying? These were pre-independence. He said, but a time will come when Nigeria shall be the desired of all nations. That people will be taking passport, visa to come and live in Nigeria. And I believe by the grace of God, it will be so. I don't ask you not to jackpot, but think of it well. It's a face. It had never been like this before. But it's not going to last for long. I said it's not going to be last. It's not going to last for long. Psalm 126 verse 1. When the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, they were like them that dream. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I prophesy Nigeria money of joy is about to happen. Nigeria weeping time is about to be gone. It will change. Build structure. Build a lasting structure. No future without structure. Build your organizational structure. Build physical structure. Build schools. Build hospitals. Build orphanages. Build university. If God gives you that calling and gives you that nudging and gives you that resources, establish foundations. Have endowment. Build libraries. Build institutions. Write books. Oh, I was thrilled yesterday when I saw the old people's home that Salvation Ministry built and donated. That's what we are talking about. That's what we are talking about. The great cathedral, we are going very, very soon. Easy for him to go and be sleeping there. This great thing is going on all over the world. Is it about him? Please, build beyond yourself. Build beyond yourself. Be legacy-minded. What will I leave behind? What will be said about me when I am gone? You will not always be young. For those of you that are young, and unfortunately, or fortunately, many of you are not young. Some of you are in my club, the 60s. Some of you are coming into it very soon. Do you know what they used to call me when I was coming up? Femi Young. But I tell them now, it's now Femi Old. It's not young anymore. Now, do things, be things, establish things that will outlive you. Don't live only for self. That would be a miserable life. Whether in business, whether in career, whether in politics, even in your family, set your children right. Said, I know that Abraham will set his children right. Build for legacy and let the world remember that somebody came. There are living corpses. They are still alive, but nobody remembers them. But there are those that are dead yet not to be forgotten because of what they live for and how they lived. Rise up and let us pray. Rise up and let us pray. I'd like you to pray this morning. Lord, give me a legacy mindset. Give me a legacy mentality. Give me grace to think beyond myself. You didn't send me here for myself. God has not blessed you this much for yourself. Lord, give me a legacy mindset. A history-making mindset. A monument-building mindset. Give me a mentality that thinks beyond myself. Are you praying? In Jesus' name. Say again, oh Lord, use my life and walk to build the next generation. Open your mouth and turn it into prayer. Always have the next generation in mind. Lord, use my life and my work to set the next generation right. To build the next generation. Oh Lord, use my life, use my work. Use your grace, the grace you have put on me, to set a tone for the next generation. Generation after me. Generation after now. Use my life, my work, your grace on my life to set things in motion for the next generation. Give me grace to live beyond myself. Give me grace to live beyond self. Let me live beyond self. Let me live beyond self. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I said something. I said, God will not pass to you what he cannot pass through you. God will not give you what he cannot go through you to some other people. Abraham, I will bless you and make you a blessing. I will make you a conduit pipe to flow to other people. Pray this last prayer. Lord, give me grace to pass it on. Give me grace to pass it on. Whatever you have endowed me with, whatever you have built me, blessed me with, give me grace to pass it on. Generations coming, my own children, my mentees, give me grace to pass it on. Thank you, Father. To you be all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm done.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.